Welcome to Bread Time, everyone. My name is Gabriel Valdivia.
And this is Charlie Dietz.
Today, we want to talk to you about the following. You're a designer. You don't really believe in yourself. You think you're not good enough. How do you gain the confidence to move through life? So, confidence is a pretty important asset to have when you're trying to find your way in industry. I think confidence sells itself, and many people say things like, fake it till you make it, which is a euphemism to be confident in who you are and overcoming this imposter syndrome that people have, that they think that they're not good enough to take the next step. Now, we can talk today about what specific things you can do to gain confidence, and we'll take it from there.
So I think that confidence actually comes often as a result of being self-critical. If I'm being self-critical about the positions that I hold, the things I do, and the way I act, I feel like a little more comfortable in being confident in myself. Because if I'm not self-critical, I'm likely to be in a position where that confidence wouldn't pay off, right? Like that, if I'm confident about something and I don't actually know what I'm talking about, that is a major problem. So by looking inward, I know that that's going to end up resulting in more confidence in the long run. I think that's just like the starting point.
So how is that different than being self-aware?
Well, I think I guess that's what I'm trying to say. Like self-awareness probably leads to self-confidence. But you can't really be confident if you're not self-aware. So like if I'm taking feedback from others and it means so much more to me or it's blindsiding me, I'm likely to be not confident because I'd be like, whoa, like what else is there about me that I don't know? But if I'm constantly looking inward and trying to understand those things and pair them up with the things that I hear from the outside, I feel like I have like a slightly better understanding of myself, and that allows me to feel more comfortable when I should be confident.
Yeah, that's interesting. I'm glad we started there and not like you should win an award to get some confidence.
I think that's pretty worth it.
Yeah, for me, I think confidence comes from the lack of surprise. If I feel like I've explored all possibilities, I feel pretty comfortable and confident in a situation. So what that means for me is, you know, when putting myself out there, like being self-critical, and in my case, being pretty self-deprecating in the sense that, you know, if you're trying to insult me, I've already kind of insulted myself worse than what you could tell me. So, you know, if you kind of develop that resilience where you at least internally exposed to negative feedback, when you do get negative feedback in the real world, then it's not as shocking or as surprising. And you're able to interpret that not as a reality, but as their opinion or their expression of how they feel, right? So that to me gives me the elements to approach the situation in a way that I feel kind of in control.
Yeah, the worst position you could possibly be in is you have to be confident for some sort of moment. Maybe you're giving like a presentation or something and something goes terribly wrong that was unexpected. Like someone asks a question and you have no idea how to answer it and you didn't expect that to happen. You're going to feel flustered. It's going to drive you crazy. You're gonna hate yourself later because you flubbed it and you couldn't answer it right. But like the other side of the way that like you could handle that more like confidently is like, okay, there are gonna be questions that you're not gonna be able to answer. You have preparation of like how you can reply to that. Like, okay, I haven't looked into that yet. You say that confidently. You say, I will look into that. Thanks for bringing it up. That's like a super confident answer, and you can feel better about yourself when you end that scenario. So it's weird, like confidence really isn't confidence.
More like, I think you kind of touched upon that, like being vulnerable is also being confident. Like putting yourself out there, and whether it's in a presentation or something like that, and saying confidently, I don't know. Like, I don't know the answer, or I haven't explored that yet, or whatever. That is, to me, is a sign of confidence and self-awareness, like knowing the extent of your knowledge and the extent of what you can contribute. It's way better to me than someone like faking it, right? Like if you're able to, and I think people's sense for reading bullshit is pretty sophisticated nowadays. So if you're able to sense bullshit when someone's speaking, that like smells like lack of confidence.
Okay, so next question, where can confidence go wrong? Like how, when can like too much confidence like bite you?
I think when it's coming from an unauthentic place, like you need to know your limits and recognize them and wear those limits confidently when approaching a situation. When confidence leads to disillusion or arrogance, or dishonesty, I think that's where I get uncomfortable.
One thing that always freaks me out is like a lot of the things I do are motivated by like, I wanna feel good, right? That's pretty human. So it's like, if I do something good, I kinda wanna hear like, oh, you did a good job or whatever, right? My fear is always like, oh, what if I believe that? Like, what if I believe like, I did do a good job and then it makes me too confident. But really what that those thoughts are just like self-leveling. Like I don't allow myself to ever think like, you're doing a great job. Like that's not like a thought I actually have too often, like on my own, which is like, it sounds kind of depressing, but it's also kind of like, I'm comfortable with that because I'm just like a person, everyone's these people and we're doing stuff, and like these good or bad judgments are really like not the thing we should be looking for. Like I want to do the best I can so I can feel good about it on a personal level, and my confidence should come from that internal dialogue I have with myself that I'm doing due diligence in my work to the level that I want to get to. You know, like if the confidence is coming from inside, that's probably like a good confidence, and if the confidence is coming from the outside, it's probably a fragile confidence.
You're doing a good job, Charlie.
I don't believe you. I fumbled earlier in this episode. That last statement was like a little more coherent.
Another thing I'd like to mention is that realizing that your background and your perspective, especially as a designer, is incredibly valuable. I think that shows a sign of confidence, knowing that, like, for example, you might be part of a minority group in tech and you might feel like you don't belong. And I actually encourage those people to use that perspective as like a superpower within tech, because that means that they're exposed to a reality or a perspective in life that is completely foreign to most people in tech or design in general. So you can use that to literally enlighten the people around you and tell them, hey, this is how a certain group of people think, or this is how that resonates with me, which is different than you, right? Like this idea of being different, I think, is actually hyper valuable in design, and you can use it to fuel your confidence, not the idea of belonging.
Okay, let's get vulnerable. We'll trade this question off. You go first. What is something that just like destroyed your confidence in yourself?
Oh, shit. Just in general, failure. Not meeting your expectations on something. Something like specific. So when I was starting, I was like a well-seasoned designer by then, and had been working as a designer for a while and wanted to move to San Francisco. I applied to Box.net. Remember that company? It was like a, I don't know if they're still around, but it's a competitor to Dropbox. And for me, they were like a symbol of like Silicon Valley. You know the story?
Yeah. No, I don't know the story, but Box is like still a really huge company. Just so you
okay,
know.
Great. So I applied and they like responded to me. I was like, holy shit. Like they're like, I'm like, I have a shot. So they gave me like a design exercise for me to do, redesign their top nav. And I was like, I got this. And I like did an incredible job. I was like, oh my God, I'm so good at this. And I sent it back to them. And they're like, okay, cool. Let's set up a call so you can explain your decisions. I was like, great. So I call them. And as soon as they pick up, I like freeze. Like I couldn't breathe. I couldn't talk. I remember like reaching out to my phone, saying like a phrase, then like pulling back and being like, and then going back and talking again. Like that was awful. And I mean, obviously I bombed the interview, but at that point I was like, holy shit, I can't do this. Like I'm physically incapable of doing this. And yeah, I mean, I don't know how I recovered from that, but I just kept applying to other places. But that was a moment where I was just like, oh shit, like that was and unequivocally, like I fucked up.
I have like a different type of thing. I was on a team. I was doing a lot of like proposals for things that I thought were valuable solutions to problems for various reasons. They would never really gain a lot of traction. And I went on this pretty long streak of just not getting work that the team was excited about, and we weren't like working together. And it was a really slow grinding down of my confidence where I was like, oh, I was like, man, like I'm not having hits anymore. Like, I'm not showing people stuff that they're responding to. Like, and I was like, am I losing it? Like, what's going on? Like, and it ground me down to the point where I didn't lose my desire in any way to design. Actually, it was still equally strong, but my confidence that I was the person who could do a good job at it was starting to like go into a questionable state. And to be honest, I don't know how to get out of that situation, because I couldn't. Like I ended up just waiting, and time changed and made it a little better. And then over the course of time, I moved to like a different team where I started shipping more stuff, and those things just like fell back into place by just persistence. But I don't know if there was a way out of it, because it was one of those things where it was just like, I want to know that the work I'm doing is paying off in some way, and it really wasn't. I wasn't adding value to the product I was working on, and that felt terrible, and it really drove me down. But yeah, I don't know. You just gotta kind of grind through certain times like that, I guess. It's horrible, but that's how you do it.
Well, so something that's common to both of our stories is that we don't really know how we got over it.
No, we do. We both just didn't let it stop us. I think that's like the thing. Like, it's pretty, in a lot of scenarios, I can imagine someone saying, "Oh crap!" Like, you could be like, oh crap, I should be like a different profession. Like, maybe I'm like a user researcher or something like that. Like, maybe I'm not actually a designer. That's why it's important to have a passion for the thing you're doing, because that will pull you through those hard times. Like, if you're a music recording artist and you don't have any hits, well, if you still really love music, you're going to keep making it.
So that's a great segue, because I was thinking, based on what you said, should you ever quit anything? Is there a point where like you just fail enough and you're like, okay, this is not for me? And I immediately thought about the time that I spent doing music and how I essentially quit that field, not because I was less passionate. I still love music. I love listening, studying it, and performing music. But I did quit. Like, I did jump ship from that industry. And like, I there was a point where I realized what the steps needed to be successful. And I was like, I'm not going to take those steps. I mean, in my case particularly, I pursued something else that was more rewarding in different ways, and it gave me a different type of personal success. Like, should people at some point realize, yeah, this is not for me, I'm not good, right? Not everyone's good at what they do. Like, do you at some point say, like, I'm not good, and you quit? And how does that affect your confidence?
Yeah, I guess quite similarly. Like, I made music and I was making it in a way that I was trying to make it as the primary thing I did. And I changed from thinking that thought to thinking that I should have the primary focus on design and these type of things. And the reason was, like, more like, I don't not love making music. The reason was, I just didn't see a path to what I considered success in that realm. I thought it was, like, for me, too much up to chance. And if I could do something to have changed that odds to be higher, I would have done it. And I felt like I was doing everything I could. So yeah, I guess I like quit as well. I also didn't feel very confident about that decision, but.
So let's bounce it back to you guys. Two questions. One, have you ever quit anything and why? And two, how did you recover confidence after doing that? We'd love to know. Our Twitter is @BreadTimeFM. We have a Slack team, which you can join if you message us in Twitter. And we have a Spectrum frequency at spectrum.chat/BreadTime. Also, if you know anybody that is not feeling very confident, share this episode with them. We'll make them feel good.
I'm sure this episode is going to make everyone feel real confident. Thanks for listening.